Blog Talk Radio.
Africa, the center of the world. Latitude zero, longitude zero. Planned by the Creator. The Xanthropus was the first man found on the earth. That earth was the motherland. We know that without total understanding of what happened in the past, it would be difficult to relate to the future. We know that within the structure of the music, there should be a message, and the message should be truth. So now, we give you Africa, the center of the world.
Humanity from all the various forms of oppression. We welcome you to Africa on the Move, and like always, you can participate on our program by simply dialing in at 323-679-0841. If you have any views or comments, make sure you hit 1, and we will bring you in by acknowledging your last 4 number. This is Africa on the Move. And we will sit in the seat, and we will take the heat. And if we define something, we're going to stand behind it. So like always, again, we welcome you, and we're going to get started with our party by introducing you to our political panelists. At this point in time, we'd like to welcome Brother Anthony to Africa on the Move. Welcome, Brother Anthony.
Thanks for having me, Brother Africa. And revolutionary greetings to you, the fellow panelists, and the listening audience. My name is Anthony Williams. I'm an organizer for the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. Our objective is Pan-Africanism, the total liberation and unification of Africa under scientific socialism.
Thank you, Brother Anthony. Before we go to our next political panelists and analysts, we would like to share with our listening audience, if you have hear some white sound in the background, it's something that we can't control, but bear with us, and we hope eventually it will go away. So right now, let's continue our program by bringing in Brother Haki and welcome him also to Africa on the Move. Welcome, Brother Haki.
Brother Africa, thanks for having me. My name is Haki Kamafi Mishoki. Before I give a statement, let me just acknowledge a couple of people, heroic individuals. First, Brother Herman Bale, who was finally released from prison, after 45 years. His brother sacrificed a lot for the masses of people, for humanity. And, of course, all praise and respect for Brother Herman Bell. Secondly, Dr. James Coyne, who's the father of black liberation theology. One of the things that's so important about black liberation theology is the teaching not to be a victim. So that's the thing we love about Dr. James Coyne, and he passed, and he would be sorely missed because there probably won't be another James Coyne for a long, long time in theological circles. Now, my statement, Brother Africa, I'm all about institution building. One of the things recently I heard Bernie Sanders talk about, he wants to implement a platform which talks about full employment. The idea is to ensure everybody who wants a job can get one. Of course, it probably won't get out of committee because when you talk about full employment, they tried that back in 68 with the Humphrey-Hawkins bill. It failed. And the question is, why is both Democrats and Republicans continue to vote against what is the best interest of the people? Well, the answer is very simple. We're talking about a capitalist system, and so therefore profits trumps everything else. As long as the wealthy benefit, any talk in terms of providing, you know, a meaningful income or jobs for the healthy, powerless, is something that they dismiss out of hand. So the reality is that we can definitely anticipate the Democrats not joining in terms of Bernie Sanders' attempt to get a bill pushed through, which talks about the right for everyone to have a job in society, because, you know, the bottom line is that the Democrats are also part of the corporate equation. And so for their interest lies not with the masses of people, but lies with corporations. And so we can anticipate they're going to fight against this as well. But in any event, brother, having said that, institutions becomes extremely important in terms of dealing with our problems, and that we can't realistically expect the Democratic Party to resolve the issues that we're confronted with. And Brother Africa, thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, Brother Haki. Next, we bring Brother Moses. Brother Moses, welcome to Africa of the Moon.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And greetings to everyone within the sound of my voice. My name is Robert Andrew Moses, and I've been in the struggle for scientific socialism from the moment I was introduced to Marxism in a government class during my high school years back in 1968. I call Marxism the race cure racism. I bear witness that there's one God, Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, and that Mao Zedong is his messenger for government. Fathers, help your children. And thank you again for allowing me on your show.
Thank you, brother. To the audience, our theme for tonight is part two. Can you bring us a continuation from last week's program? Our topics that we're going to discuss tonight are going to center around the idea of the democratic deep state takeover, why China is confident it can beat Trump in a trade war, watching Facebook as civic hypocrisy in reality, a house you can buy but not own, and we're going to talk about the hidden crisis on college campuses. And right now, as we deal with our first segment of the program, like always, which is called What's Going On in Your World and the Community, we will ask our panelists what's going on in our world and our community before we take on a real interesting subject. I think we have a great value to all mankind. But right now, Brother Anthony, can you talk to us a little bit about what's going on in your world and the community?
Certainly. The All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC, is organizing our annual commemoration of African Liberation Day, Palestine Day 2018, in Washington, D.C. on May 19th. This event will take place at the Thurgood Marshall Center, located at 1816 12th Street, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20009. For more information, you can contact us via our website, www.a-aprp-gc.org, or call us at 202-239-7636. And our theme this year is inheriting and continuing the revolutionary theory and practice of Kwame Ture. Our sub-theme is remembering and honoring Ho Chi Minh and Malcolm X on their birthdays. And also, let's see, the Palestinians are continuing to face violent repression in the Gaza area because of their just demand for their right to return to their homeland. And all justice-loving people, especially Africans, should be paying very close attention to these events. And also, Sister Camille Cosby wrote an article defending her husband last week against, you know, the accusations that were leveled against him. And so that's some of what's going on in my world.
Thank you. Let me ask you something, Brother Anthony. In terms of Bill Cobbs' wife, in terms of the letter she wrote to the public, what were some of the things that she brought out that you felt is noteworthy to share with the listening audience? How did she view this recent phenomenon that has been taking place between her husband and these alleged allegations?
Okay. Well, she points out that the original U.S. Constitution, which is still in effect, was written by European slave owners, basically, and she points out correctly that there were no women, no indigenous people, and no Africans involved in framing the Constitution. And, you know, and by implication, the law is inherently biased against, you know, poor and oppressed people, generally. And she points out that there's been a history of European women crying rape for financial or political gain. And I think that these points have some validity in terms of taking things into context. Now, there were several women that alleged Bill Cosby drugged them in order to force them to have sex with him. And when anyone has to be drugged, that is not consensual, sex by any stretch. That's force. And so I think you have several different things going on here. On the one level, you have, the oppression of women, and also you have the oppression of Africans in general because of the laws and the oppression that they suffer. And I think because of the gender oppression that takes place in society, the exploitation of women is not has not been given the attention that it deserves historically.
Okay, thank you, Anthony. Before we go to our next panel, Brother Haki, and to this audience, I see we're having some problems with our control board. So if we lose you for a little while, just stay with us. We're going to see if we can correct this. I don't know what's going on with this board, but I see there are some problems coming up. So just bear with us. Go ahead, Brother Haki. Let's see what happens. We might lose you in 10 minutes,
yeah,
10 seconds.
Okay, African Association. African Awareness Association, we're doing is Black History Education Cultural Tour to Cuba. We'll be going to Guantanamo, Santa Ygritte, Cuba, and Havana. This takes place July 23rd to July 30th. For more information, we ask you to contact us at 804-549-7492 or area code 202-714-9435 or visit our website at www.aaa-cubatours.com. We encourage all to go to Cuba to see for themselves firsthand what Cuba is all about.
Thank you, Brother Haki. I would like to go on record. We have a promise from board. For some reason, we are off air, but we will continue the show. So hopefully we still can give out to the masses. We will have to follow up on what's going on with technology. But for those who are listening by phone, I would like to acknowledge that if you own a computer and you lost us, those are some problems that are outside of our control for right now. This is the first time something like this has happened. But let's move on. Next, we go from Brother Hackett. Brother Moses, what's going on in your world and community?
Certainly, we want to acknowledge that we're looking forward to African Liberation Day on May 19th. And I think it's interesting that President Trump was had some problems in this payment to this lady in waiting or whatever, who claims he has an affair with her and is paid $130 to keep her mouth shut. And Trump's lawyer, Giuliani, says that Trump paid back his lawyer for giving her the money. Trump has said he doesn't know anything about it. And so it seems to be there's trouble in the White House. The moral character of Trump, as they say, he's unfit to be president morally. And I think this is an example of it. We should see how this plays out. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Moses. Next, we'd like to invite Sister Hattie. Sister Hattie, welcome to Africa on the Move. Briefly introduce yourself and what's going on in your world and community.
Okay. Hi there, everyone. And it's a pleasure to be back to talk with this esteemed panel. And there's a lot going on everywhere and in everybody's world who's walking around here on this earth. And some of them are unconscious about their things that are going on in their world, and those that are conscious know what's going on. But what's going on is I am a nonprofit worker and founder of Women United, and what we're doing is right now we have a campaign about reparations for Black women, and we speak every Tuesday from 9 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time and from 10 to 11 Eastern Time. And we're asking people to support in the conversation as we're looking at the work that Paul Robeson did to figure out different ways that we could bring this into trending in this day and age and this time. And so we're asking people to call in to 515-739-6215 and put in code 767-408. And so our hope in doing this is to gather and garner information and to be able to go to the United Nations and work with the Million Woman March in support of all of those particular things they've been working on, and coming up with some on our own in terms of the status of women. And, you know, African women were declared, this is the decade of the African woman, and so I can't think of a better thing to talk about the abuse, murder, and medical experimentation on black women, and to be able to articulate that from my own standpoint with nobody else's words in it but ours, because black women, African women, have been brutalized from the time the slave ships left Africa. And so what we want to do is make sure that it's our voice being heard for us and not other people, even the men in our lives, but that they are so supportive of what our voice is saying, as we can tell with all of the things that are happening right now around women. And I appreciate the brother talking about this not having been given the attention that it should have been given. So in terms of Donald Trump, he's done nothing more than what all the others have done and gone before him have done. It wasn't publicized in this manner, but that's what's been happening for many, forever. I'll just say it that way, across the world with all different cultures. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sister Hattie. At this point in time, what we're going to do, we will continue this discussion on what's going on in our world community. As we entertain this article that was titled, Bill Gates Thinks of a Coming Disease Could Kill 30 Million People Within 6 Months, and said we should prepare for it as we do. We're going to take a station break. When we come back, we will discuss this particular article, because this is something that is going on in your world that I think you need to pay heed to. And we'd like to have your feedback. You can call in at 323-679-0841. So we're going to pause for this call, and we'll be right back. You are listening to Africa on the Moon.
You're an African.
as long as you're a black man or a black woman, don't you never forget you are an African. We'll welcome you back to Africa on the Move. We will continue our discussion under what's going on in our world community by discussing this article that was written by Kevin Laurel, dated April 27, 2018. It titles, Bill Gates Think a Common Disease Could Kill Some 30 Million People Within 6 Months, and says we should prepare for it as we do for a war. This is a very interesting article. You know, Bill Gates had a discussion, a meeting with the Massachusetts Medical Society, the New England Journal of Medicine, about a week ago, and he had a discussion on how there may be a pandemic that may take place that will be greater than the one that took place in 1918. There was emphysema. And he stated that in the near future, possibly you will have one that will be greater, that will take over 30 million people's lives within a 6 month time period. And this is something that we are not prepared for, and we need to be prepared for it. So, to my panelists, when you read this article, first and foremost, I would like just to throw this question out. To whom you think Bill Gates was talking to, why he shared that information, and do you really see this as being a possibility? Start with you, Brother Hackey. Remember just last week we read an article on they have these group of people who, for some reason or other, they have hatred of life itself. So we can see from history things that they have done. So when you read this article, what would be Bill Gates' motivation for sharing this and predicting this to come to play? What's your take on that, Brother Hackey?
All right. Well, you know, one of the things we were very clear on is that there is a strong relationship between, you know, billionaires and the deep state. They seem to have access to information other people don't. So the mere fact that Bill Gates stood at the number like 30 million, that's a lot of people. So it's apparently it's based upon some study. There's some intimate information or knowledge being bandied about, which Bill Gates was privy to. I think his whole motivation was that I think he has understanding that he does have responsibility to humanity. So I think he felt it wise to at least leak to the populace that the potential for 30 million people losing their lives as a result of diseases is very possible. One of the things we got to keep in mind, Brother Africa, when we talk about this propensity in terms of using diseases to kill people, it's not a new phenomenon. This goes back to the early 19th century. There's an individual by the name of Robert Malthus. We call named after the Malthusian theory. He was an economist and a demographer, and his whole thing was that populations always exceed food supply. In other words, what he's saying is that because populations exceed food supply, that governments would be well-founded to actually kill off the surplus people who would be a drain on the resources. Of course, none of this was realistic. I mean, it was all driven by politics. But keep in mind, Robert Malthus was an economist, and his role was to create theory to justify the enslavement, to justify the injustice, to justify the suffering of the masses of people by using theory. So we got to understand that very, very clearly. But nonetheless, this potential, this propensity in terms of actually wanting to act to kill people is very, very strong. In addition to that, Brother Africa, one of the things, when we talk about the role of diseases, there's another pandemic they're talking about coming. The World Health Organization talks about the fact that disease is on its way. And that's very, very interesting. Nobody knows what disease X is, but they know it's coming. To me, it sounds somewhat ironic because on one hand, you can't be specific in terms of the potential for something happening, and then on the other hand, say that you're just guessing as to what might happen. It seems to me that these guesstimations or these estimations are rooted in some kind of information that the people are privy to, which they're not telling us. Perhaps it's a national security issue, and so therefore they're not privy to actually disclose, you know, where to get information from. But then people are leaking this information, but very, very clearly that this propensity in terms of diseases killing a large number of people is something that's been happening with great regularity in the history of the United States, particularly the history of the evolution of the West. Lastly, Brother Africa, let me just say this. Also, I think, you know, according to the intergovernmental science policy and biodiversity, They talk about the fact that potentially, as a result of land degradation, 3.2 billion people will lose their lives between 10 and 20 years. That is an awful lot of people. And you know, one of the things when we talk about the causation factor behind, you know, how is it this land being degraded at such a rapid pace, there are three basic reasons according to most scientists. One, of course, is global warming, in which we talk about the impact of methane and carbon in terms of its impact on your own environment. We understand that. But more importantly, which we don't talk about, we're talking about the weaponization of space. And so in actuality, what's happening is that the U.S. over the last 20 years have been using the stratosphere as a weapon. So, for instance, they talk about the fact that they're utilizing chemicals like fluorine, bromine, iodine, and of course we know about silver iodine. Now, silver iodine, of course, is what they use in terms of Sydney clouds to make sure it rains if they want it to rain. Also, we talk about the fact that when we talk about silver iodine, also what it does is that it makes the clouds whiter, so it blocks off heat. So conceivably, in terms of a weapon, it could be utilized over particular areas or what they perceive as their enemies in terms of showing make it cold and making sure that that crop die off and so forth and so on to create a hazard or create a shortage for the people that they are targeting. But one of the things is that regardless of what we're talking about, when we talk about bromine, chlorine, or silver iodine, it doesn't matter because all of them destroy the ozone. The ozone is greatly weakened, and the hole has been expanding for over 20 years. But despite that, the proliferation in terms of military technology, in terms of using weapon as a weapon, continues unabated. And so, therefore, it is destruction of life. And when we talk about destruction of ozone layer, not only we talk about destruction on a cellular level in terms of human beings and plant life, we also talk about the seas, the destruction of seas, the coral reefs, the planting that animals feed on in terms of the fish and so forth. So clearly, this propensity in terms of destruction of human life is nothing new. In fact, it's programmatic. It's just, in fact, part of capitalism. It's the essence of capitalism, destruction and death. Is part of capitalism. And so, therefore, nobody's surprised when Bill Gates talked about the fact that over 30 million people potentially could lose their lives as a result of disease. Because one thing is very, very clear. When we talk about the evolution of diseases, one thing is clear. The conditions have to be right in order to have the evolution of a pandemic, which means that those conditions are getting worse and worse and worse. And the question is, why not people addressing those conditions that lead to pandemics in the first place? Possibly because those people in positions of power, and remember, we talk about military application, want the destruction of human beings, and so therefore, those issues that negatively impact on human life is not a concern because it serves a broader purpose in terms of destroying human life.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Africa. Brother Anthony, what is your take on this article?
Well, let's see. I concur with all the points that Brother Hakeem made. And I would add that in addition, there have been studies done advocating depopulation of the Earth, and these have been done by the ruling class of the European bourgeoisie. I remember, seem to recall a paper that Henry Kissinger put out a few decades ago. And Journal for New American Century that advocated depopulating certain segments of people. And those segments were not Europeans, they were Africans. So I think, and there has been several pandemics or epidemics of certain diseases over the last several decades, which have devastated the African population, and also the damage, the environmental damage being caused by capitalism, has also wreaked havoc on the lifestyles and lives of indigenous people around the world, particularly in the Western and Southern hemispheres, by causing, in some cases, droughts or floods where they do not normally occur historically. So I think people have to be aware that that we have to organize to prevent and to hasten the collapse of capitalism if the world and the planet is going to survive.
You know, Brother Hackey and Brother Anthony, I find this article really interesting in terms of some of the things that it not saying but are saying. Let me just read this statement to you and tell me what you think, because I'm in agreement with this whole process of understanding that the capitalist system is threatened, is collapsing, and as the brother said, you're making food to people some of the time, but can't fool all the people all the time. But anyway, look at this statement right here. It said, we're getting closer to a universal flu vaccine. Gates announced on Friday that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation will offer $12 million in grant to encourage its development. What do they mean by we're getting closer to a universal flu vaccine? I thought they already had one. What is a universal flu vaccine? Can anyone extrapolate on that?
Let me see. Universal, that means treat any form of influenza. And most medications are specific to a certain disease or a certain manifestation of it. Not all forms of it necessarily, because flu can have different causes and different sources of it. So he's saying that there is in development of a vaccine that can treat any form of flu.
How do you do that when viruses have a tendency to mutate and changes?
That's
exactly the same makeup of this particular type of this particular flu may have something a little different from the past histories of others. So how do you make a universal one that would ensure that it would encompass all the various forms of mutations that viruses may take? But yes, Brother Hackey, your response to that.
Yeah, well, the cellular structure of flu differ. To have a university cure for, different strains doesn't make any sense at all. It seems to me that it's virtually impossible. If you don't know the cellular structure, then in terms of creating a vaccine that adequately match what you need in terms of defeating the flu, if you don't have that information beforehand, you can't create a universal flu vaccine. I think they're selling this notion in terms of universal flu vaccine because I suspect there's also motives in place here. And one of the things, Brother Africa, I wanted to raise too, and I think it's important people understand this, is that there's a correlation with when I talked earlier about Robert Mathis and kind of these kind of economical theories in terms of scarcity. When I talk about that, we can't underscore enough the relationship between the economics and the philosophical. And for instance, all right, when we talk about the Malthusian theory and we talk about the need to kill off people based upon the fact of food scarcity, then clearly other individuals, other so-called scientists picked up that the gavel and they ran with it. And so their position is that they came up with theories like natural selection. So interesting, this question in terms of natural selection, because one of the things when we talk about natural selection, of course we're talking about Darwinism, when we talk about natural selection, this notion that initially what he was saying was that that individuals survive changing conditions based upon attributes, their intelligence, their creativity, their phenotype, their physical being, and so forth, so on. But that was later changed to species. As a species, they adapt according to intellect, their physical capabilities, as a group, not as individuals. So clearly this notion of species was more about in terms of, you know, race. And, of course, we all understand when we talk about the construct of race, it's a political, you know, social construct. There's no such thing as race. There's only one human being, not a human being originally in Africa. But nonetheless, so when they created these justifications in terms of looking at society differently, of course, it became natural that you want to create a way to get rid of those, quote-unquote, you perceive as different or somehow lacking in terms of what is desired. And so we can't dismiss that when we talk about this notion in terms of, you know, giving people vaccines for flu. Because if you think back in 1978 to 1988, when the World Health Organization was giving so-called shots for yellow fever in Central Africa, and the people came down with all kind of ailments, and that's what led to eventually known as AIDS today. So clearly this notion in terms of using a universal vaccine for the sole purpose of terms of helping people is suspect. So people should be very, very careful about that one. Recently there was a doctor, and she's currently living in Guatemala. She left, I can't recall her name, but she left, and she warned that they're giving people these vaccines for the sole purpose of undermining their immune system, which make them more susceptible to all kinds of diseases, which means makes them more susceptible to death. So she left the U.S. and she's in Guatemala now, and she's living there, and she refuses to come back to the United States. So clearly we got to understand that there's a long history in terms of destruction of human beings, particularly African human beings, African individuals. It's a long history in terms of desire to destroy. And what Brother Anthony talked about Henry Kissinger, in terms of Global 2000 and the desire to actually kill off a large number of people, that is not hyperbole. That is real. This is what they were trying to do. This is what they're doing. So everything they do is geared toward the destruction of human life, and we got to be very clear on that.
Also, and Brother Anthony, you can make a point, but when I read his article, it was coming from Bill Gates. I remember that the long ago, he also just published a so-called study where he is stating that this world is overpopulated. They need to get rid of at least 21 billion people. And then he comes back later, there'll be something like this. I think the world needs to be highly skeptical in terms of these motives and these possibilities. But yes, go ahead, Brother Anthony.
Yes, I want to add that that people need to be aware of that, but also there is also an implicit assumption that the way the world is now is going to stay that way. In other words, a world dominated by imperialism. And the people that are being targeted for elimination are not the people in the wealthier societies of the world, but the poor people, the Africans, the so-called American Indians. Those are the ones that are being targeted for elimination, and we need to be aware of that, and the fact that any sort of chemical that you inject that undermines your immune system makes you subject to all kinds of diseases, even diseases for which there are known cures. And as a matter of fact, there is a hormone, and that women produce naturally during pregnancy, in order to prevent the immune system from destroying the baby that is inside her womb. And that is because the baby, is considered a foreign object as far as the human body is concerned. And that's why women, during pregnancy, are more vulnerable to various, illnesses and infections because their immune system is short-circuited. In order to protect the baby that is growing in the womb, and so people need to be cautious of the medications and chemicals that are injected into their body.
stated. Also, panelists, let's continue some of the ideas that were expressed in this article. He also stated that, and we're getting better at rapid diagnosis too, which is essential as the first step towards fighting a new disease, is quarantine. Just this week, a new research paper in the Journal of Science touted the development of a way to use gene editing technology to rapidly detect disease and identify them using the same sort of paper script used in a home pregnancy test. But we are not yet good enough at rapid identifying the threat from a disease and coordinating a response, as the global reaction to the latest Ebola epidemic shows. Now, this is part I thought is really interesting, given the spreading and the role of the U.S. military all around the world today, particularly Africa. He stated that there needs to be a better communication between militaries and governments to help coordinate responses, Gates said, and he thinks that governments need to quickly enlist the help of the private sector when it comes to developing technology and tools to fight emerging deadly disease. Melinda Gates recently said that the threat of global pandemic, whether it emerges naturally or is engineered, was perhaps the biggest risk to humanity. Read between those lines, Brother Haki. What dangers you see in this, particularly the collaboration between militaries?
Yeah, you know what? One of the things I don't understand is that, you know, the military is not, they're not specialists. They're not medical specialists. Utilize them doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Other than you say this is more issue in terms of geopolitics than it is in terms of actually helping people. You know, one of the things, Brother Africa, I think that when you talk about this methodology that they're going to utilize in terms of the strip that we're going to identify, you know, who's in fact infected and who's not, raises very serious questions in terms of the ethics in terms of medicine. One of the things is that, you know, you can very easily use this code of technology for the sole purpose of creating a pandemic when in fact a pandemic doesn't exist, and to justify, you know, getting rid of people that way. So I'm very concerned in terms of this methodology they talk about employing in terms of, you know, preventing a pandemic in society. One of the things, Brother Africa, I think this is also important, we point out that when we talk about pandemics, and I don't want to get off the point, but the point is that when we talk about pandemics, we got to talk about to the extent that the U.S. military facilitate these pandemics. Recently, they had an article and talked about weaponizing space and its negative impacts on the planet. And they talked about the role of ultraviolet UVC light radiation and ultraviolet UVB radiation. Both radiations affect the entire planet, both human and plants, on a cellular level. And the mere fact that it impacts on such a large number of people throughout the world merely means that we can anticipate that people come down with all kinds of diseases, all kinds of debilitating ailments as a result of being directly exposed to ultraviolet radiation, because the ozone is simply, you know, weakened, or there's large holes in the ozone in which, you know, those UVC and UVB radiation waves actually penetrate the earth. So therefore, the mere fact that they don't talk about the military application in terms of Israel's plan in terms of facilitating these pandemics suggests that any kind of methodology they may use in terms of helping people is perhaps disingenuous. So we've got to be very, very careful in terms of, you know what they say and the implications for humanity, because nothing they're saying here is consistent or makes sense. But what it does reveal is that consistently there's an attempt by corporations, by the wealthy, to conceal the role that the U.S. military play in terms of the emergence of all kinds of diseases as a result of being exposed to UV radiation. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, he must have gotten knocked off.
I'm here. Yes, brother. Yes, Brother Anthony. Your response to what I just read as relates to the call for militaries across governments to work
if this is a health problem, it seemed like the call would be for the training of more doctors and nurses, not a greater use of military personnel, and the military role is to maintain order, usually in the interest of whoever is paying them. And in this case, since this is a society dominated by neocolonialism and imperialism, it means a collaboration between the military and the ruling classes in the countries where they operate, which operate at the service of imperialism. So this situation makes things worse for the masses of the people in the world, not better. And in addition to facilitating the spread of disease, it could lead to other forms of political repression, sort of like what's happening on a small scale in the Gaza area of Egypt. So I think any calls for greater military involvement, people should be very wary of. And, and a health problem, it seems like you want more health personnel than anything else, and greater education of the populace so that they can take, steps, to prevent, the spread of, whatever this disease is.
Panelists, remember, what's that same thing? New American Century Progress or New American Centrist? Years back, they was talking about creating a future, particularly Africa, where Africa would become a land with no people. There's a question around how will we be able to maintain control of the resources. And then looking at AFRICOM with the military all over Africa, really all over the world. And then he engaged talking about coordinating the militaries, which we really are talking about Western nations, not talking about non-Western nations. This seems like the plot is in, panelists, the plot is in. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to have a shortened program today due to the fact there are some issues that has affected our ability to perform and to carry out the show. And we apologize, to our audience, but they are issues that we didn't anticipate to encounter, but it has caused some issues of properly giving you the kind of information that you need. So what we're going to do is we're going to close out this program an hour earlier, and for next week we'll be doing a special program on African Liberation Day 2018. But the following week we'll come back and continue this part two program as relates to Can You Believe This? So panelists for tonight, what I would like to do, give you just a few minutes again to share some summary on this particular article, what the public should be aware of, and how to fight against it. I'll start with you, Brother Anthony.
Okay, I think the article is warning of a possible pandemic. And, and the thing about it, though, not very many specifics on the source or what the cause of it might be. But I think the key thing is, as with any health issue, education is critical. Education, and we must be organized in order to combat anything that enemy throws at us, whether it be in the form of weaponry, disease, or what have you. And also follow events that are taking place in the world around us very carefully, because there are already efforts underway to depopulate certain areas of the world, you know, so that they can become the exclusive reserve of the ruling of the European ruling class. So please be aware of and try to share, gain more knowledge and share it, you know, with the masses of the people.
And Brother Anthony, just again make the announcement about African Liberation Day, where they can get the information, how can they participate, and
certainly. Let's see, African Liberation Day is being, and Palestine Day is being organized by the All African People's Revolutionary Party, GC. Our theme this year is inheriting and continuing the revolutionary theory and practice of Kwame Ture. For more information, please visit our website at www.a-aprp-gc.org, or you can contact us at 202-239-7636.
Thank you, Brother Andrew. Brother Hackey, your final thoughts tonight on this article. And before you go out, Brother Hackey, I'd like to raise what I raise all the time when we're looking at the behavior of our people, is that, yeah, a lot of our people say, they really can't do this. I don't believe this. So what you say to them, Brother Hackey?
Well, history is the best source of enlightenment. If you really want to understand what's going on, you have to understand what happened in the past. It's the key. And it's important that people read and understand precisely what history means and all that entails. So I think once people have an adequate understanding of history, then they can see right through anything they're doing currently. Because nothing they're doing is original. It's all happened before. It's a question of history and understanding history, the people to what they're doing. So and for anyone who doubts the kind of malevolent nature of these ruling class, then all I can say is stick around. You haven't seen anything yet. But having said that, Brother Africa, let me just say African Awareness Association will be doing the annual Black History and Culture Tour to Cuba. We'll be going to Guantanamo, Santiago de Cuba, and Havana. This is July 23rd to July 30th. And for more information, please call us at 804-549-7492, or you code 202-714-9435, or visit our website, www.aaa-cubatours.com, and we have the night, Brother Africa.
I thank you, Brother Hackey, Brother Anthony, all our Brother Moses, all our panelists. Unfortunately, we couldn't operate our program the way we should based on some technical difficulties. Many of our participants have been locked up. Many of our audience have not been able to call in because of this technical issue. But we'll be back next week, same time, same station. We will dedicate all the program next week to Africa Liberation Day 2018, which will take place May the 19th in Washington, D.C. We also like to let the listening audience know that you can participate by not only listening to Africa on the Move, but you can send in your comments. We'd like to hear your views and comments on the various shows and topics that we have. You can suggest topics by emailing us at AfricaOnTheMove2@gmail.com. AfricaOnTheMove2@gmail.com. We'd like to welcome your thoughts and your input. Now, for the closing thoughts for tonight, we just come to tell you that, remember, without information, you cannot think. In our organization, you cannot think clearly. Find an organization that is doing something for your people and help you in that organization. Because if you are not in the organization, then by your very act of inactivity or not participating in the organization, you are acting out as the enemy against the interests of your people. Join an organization that is doing something for your people. If you can't find one that you like, create one. That is your responsibility. Again, this is Africa on the Move. We apologize for our technical difficulties. We hope to have those things corrected by next week. And we'd like to encourage you to keep moving forward, to keep going forward, ever backwards now. This has been Africa on the Move. And like always, Africa is not free. We must continue struggle for a total, liberated, unified Africa and in all scientific socialist system. Until next time, we'll see you. at Africa on the Move Sunday, 7 p.m.
Forces arrayed against us are, and I use the word most carefully, formidable. They are intense and powerful. They are, as I have taken some pains to explain, they operate in worldwide combinations at all levels, political, economic, military, cultural, educational, social, and trade. and not all, and through intelligence, cultural, and information services. They operate from European and African centers, using agents who, I'm ashamed to say, are often on patriotic sons of Africa, buying personal satisfactions with the betrayal of their country's safety and integrity. They seduce leaders. They seduce leaders of the African political, trade union, and people's organization, thus creating rifts and quarrels within the national front. On the border front, they are amassing their forces in a determined effort to stay the advance of African liberation and the march of unity. They are attempting many methods, some sinister, some beguiling, to wreck our efforts. They strike antipathetic postures. On one side, they perform acts calculated to strike fear. On the other, they try to hoodwink us with fictitious gifts, which superficially pander to our hopes and aspirations. They are the president's attempts to deflect our purpose, to weaken our determination.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed.